It's time now for Inside Hockey, brought to you by Calgary Co-op. Fill up at the pump that pays and receive revved up reward coupons redeemable for game day snacks at Co-op food stores. We go down the South Street Burger guest hotline. Very pleased to have join us our friend Eric Engels from Sportsnet in Montreal. Hello, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing excellent. How are you?
I am great. I would suggest to you I'm in a far better place and better spirit than the hockey club you will play from or see play from my neck of the woods, but that's neither here nor there. I want to ask you about the Montreal Canadiens. And Eric, here we are. What a difference a year makes. Last year, this was kind of a free fall period for the Canadiens, yet here they are a year later looking like the team I think everybody expects they should be.
Yeah, and I think a big part of that is the bodies that Marc Bergevin brought in over the summer and the aim, which was to better handle injuries should they hit. And they've hit hard. I mean, the Canadiens at any given point over the last couple of months have been playing without six regulars and big names in their lineup, guys like Alex Galchenyuk, who missed 18 games, Andrei Markov, who's missing his 18th game now, David Desharnais, who's missed 20 games. You go down the list, Greg Patterson, who was a stable number six defenseman for them. You know, you think that's a depth position that needs to be filled, and they haven't really found anything that they've been stable with Zach Redmond and with Ryan Johnson taking turns with Mark Barberio on that pair. That's an area of the club where they've been looking for some stability. So the fact that they've managed to scrape together wins over this two-month period, which is also the heaviest portion of their schedule, you know, they just came off a run of eight games in 13 nights. They've had barely any time to practice, so... You know, all things considered, the way the Canadiens have handled adversity has been pretty impressive. I will say this, two games now, one against Calgary, against New York on Thursday before the All-Star break. That's going to be 3 days of rest. That will be a godsend for most of the team. Right. But Carey Price and Shea Weber, who are at the World Cup of Hockey, don't get that rest. They'll be in an unscheduled trip out to Los Angeles. It's a long way to go for the All-Star game, and obviously they're going to be busy while they're there. And then the Canadiens will play eight more games before they get to enjoy their bye week. So still some adversity ahead, and we'll see how they handle it.
Eric, the thought about, you know, the protection, protecting yourself from injuries this year, it is significantly different, though, because the injury last year to Carey Price was really the death knell, right? And he has been healthy this year. If it wasn't Carey Price last year, would that team have survived better even with the type of injuries they're having this year? If that makes any sense.
Yeah, you have to think so.
Yeah, okay.
You have to think so. And yeah. Carey Price, obviously, you lose your number one goaltender. And then a guy like Mike Condon, who's a rookie, ends up in that spot where he's got to play upwards of 50 games. I mean, that's too much to ask. And yes, you know, I would say that experience set Condon up pretty well for what he's doing right now with the Ottawa Senators, with the absence of Craig Anderson because his wife, Nicole, is obviously taken ill. And Craig Anderson has been there beside her, and Mike Condon has done a phenomenal job. But, yeah, you know, you ask any coach or any general manager in the league, I think Mike Babcock was recently asked about losing the wrong players or guys that you just can't replace. And you look at the Leafs, for example. They can't afford to lose, you know, more than one defenseman at a time with what they've got going on the blue line and the goaltending behind it, which is above average but not among the best in the league. So you look at the Montreal situation, bring it back to Carey Price. He struggled recently, but, you know, even at that, he's still one of the better goaltenders in the league when he's struggling. So missing him for 70 games last year was the death knell, exactly as you put it. And yeah. We saw what the result was. That said, you know, you look at the guys that Marc Bergevin brought in and Shea Weber, Alexander Radulov, Andrew Shaw, they're all character guys. They're all leaders. They all perform on the ice and they keep, you know, the guys in the room on a business kind of keel. So I think it's worked out really well for Marc Bergevin and the Canadiens so far.
Eric Engels from Sportsnet in Montreal, our guest on the South Street Burger guest hotline. You talked about the work that Marc Bergevin did in the offseason, none bigger than obviously the blockbuster trade of defensemen. P.K. Subban ends up in Nashville, Shea Weber in Montreal. I know that you've done some outstanding reporting with P.K. and his transition to Nashville, and I know you're watching Shea Weber, and I'm also cognizant of the fact that we're not even talking about a deal that's a calendar year old. It's going to take time for, you know, if we're ever going to select a winner or a loser in this, I think it comes years from now, but it appears from the outside Shea Weber has seamlessly transitioned and come in and been an impactful player for the Canadiens.
Yeah, it's not that complicated. My opinion hasn't changed since the day this trade was made. You know, the loss of P.K. Subban was always going to be a bigger loss for the city of Montreal than it was for the Canadiens.
Right.
And the fit of Shea Weber in Montreal and the fit of P.K. Subban in Nashville, that's the reason that this deal was made. You know, Shea Weber is a guy who moves the puck quickly. He may not move it as efficiently as PK Subban does, but he moves it quickly. It's on his stick, it's off his stick, and the transition is going. And PK's biggest strength is skating with the puck. And I think, you know, with the system that Michel Therrien runs, a lot of the time, PK skating with the puck would freeze the forwards, you know, at the offensive blue line instead of catching them with speed before giving them the puck. And that's you know, outside the system. And you have to let certain players play outside the system when you consider their skill set. But, you know, hockey is about fit. Mm-hmm. And Shea Weber fits perfectly with the way the Canadians want to play. He fits perfectly with the culture they want to have in their room, which is a pretty boring one. But, you know, boring means you avoid controversy, and avoiding controversy in a city like Montreal is kind of a big part of the game plan. So you look at the way PK fits in Nashville and what they're trying to do with puck-moving defensemen and fast, mobile defensemen on every pair that they have. You're starting to see them really come to life now that he's healthy, and I think, you know, they're going to have a strong finish to the year. I think the Canadians are also going to do the same. And the trade seems to be working out well for both teams. You look 4 years down the line, I think we know who the winner is going to be of that trade. It's going to be the team that has a player that's 4 years younger in PK Subban. But, you know, if Montreal wins a Stanley Cup because of this trade they made to get Shea Weber, there won't be any regrets at the end of the day.
First of all, congratulations. I have done this for years and never had anybody explain something to me like you just explained to me. And I love the fact you use the term boring inside that locker room. Is that are we talking about strictly in terms of the work that they do with the media, or are we talking about a team whose character is not, you know, there isn't a lot of it? You know what I mean? I love PK. We've had this conversation. I love it. I need more of it. I want more of that on my team. But your description of the Montreal Canadiens dressing room intrigues me.
Well, you're not playing in Pittsburgh or even a lesser market. I mean, Pittsburgh is obviously a great hockey market, but in Arizona, for example, you know, where players are anonymous, and you know, that the challenge of dealing with the media, which is a 30 member media, you know, on a daily basis and several more depending on the game and the you know, how important the game is, it's really a big challenge. It's a big part of playing hockey in Montreal. And I think, you know, Marc Bergevin and his quest to sign players over the years and trade for players over the years that he's had the chance to talk to them has prepared them for that possibility. One of the biggest questions he asked Alexander Radulov before he got to Montreal was, are you able to play in this place? Yeah. Are you able to handle the kind of pressure that you're going to be under on a daily basis and the media, which will be a constant presence? And what we've learned about Alexander Radulov, and one of the reasons why I don't think it's a major rush to get him signed right now, I honestly think that Alexander Radulov needs that pressure. I think he needs that attention. He thrives on that attention. That's why we've seen him play a phenomenal season to date. And I think he loves being a part of the Montreal Canadiens. And, you know, yes, this will be his chance to cash out on the market as an unrestricted free agent at 30 years old. But at the same time, you know, if he can get a 2 to 3 year deal from the Canadiens at the right money, I don't even think he'll have much to think about, because he knows this market will bring the best out of him and will secure him to a longer deal after he gets through with that one. So that kind of speaks to the culture they try to adapt here. They try to deal with a very serious media presence, and that's a challenge. And whether people want to like that or not, you know, I love PK Subban. I love his personality.
Yeah.
But that was a distraction at times for the Canadians, and I'm sure even PK would admit that, because he's so great with the media that he sucks so much oxygen away. He never demanded or asked people to go to him immediately in the locker room and ignore other players in the room. But as media members, we want to hear what he has to say about virtually anything, even on the most boring of days. So that could be a distraction. And there's nothing wrong with having that personality. It's just Shea Weber and his personality fits exactly with the culture they want to have in the locker room.
Great answer. Thank you for that. Eric Engels from Sportsnet joining us down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. Because you went down with Radulov, just quickly to follow up there, that deal will get done, even though it's not on the table right now. That there's no reason to think he's going to go elsewhere.
Well, I mean, there's definitely a reason. You can never say that with 100% certainty that a guy who has the opportunity to cash out with the best deal he's going to get in his NHL career is not going to at least explore the thought that, you know, as an unrestricted free agent leaving Montreal, he might get more years on a contract. But, you know, if you're a smart guy, and I think Alexander Radulov is, you have to consider what the scenario is that is going to lead to you being the most successful. And then you worry a little bit less about securing, you know, those years on a contract. I think as an unrestricted free agent on the market, on the open market on July 1, there's a possibility that a team out there would offer him 5 years. That team, I really struggle to believe, would be the Montreal Canadiens, no matter how well this has worked out so far. So will he be willing to accept a 2 or 3 year deal that Marc Bergevin would probably happily give him? And maybe they have that agreement in place, and maybe they're waiting to get it signed and formalized for the draft lottery to go by, and that's one less player to protect. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think the Canadians love what they've gotten out of Alexander Radulov. I think they'd love to keep him. I think Alexander Radulov would love to stay in Montreal. And right now, there's just no rush on either side to get it done. I know fans are worried about it. Fans are worried about the allure of the market. But at the end of the day, you know, these guys have found a match, and there's a reason why it's working so well. And the hope is that in good faith, they've got something in place that they can sign off on, whatever that time may be.
The other player that I think was significant in the offseason, the addition of, is Andrew Shaw. And it's funny, we're talking about, you know, the character of the dressing room. Certainly Shaw on the ice draws a lot of attention to himself. He's, you know, he's very animated. He's very much involved. His role and what he has brought to Montreal, is he, how much has he helped this team?
I think he's definitely helped. He's a guy that is dogged on the puck, and that, you know, his real impact is on the ice. You know, in the room, he's a light guy, keeps things loose. It's good to have guys like that around, but he's serious when it comes to playing hockey. He's passionate, obviously. He's flown off the handle a couple of times, which, you know, that's something that you take. You know, that's the player he's being paid to be. They don't want to see him doing dirty things and getting suspension. But at the end of the day, he's going to lose his cool sometimes, and that's part of the passion that he plays with. And I think the Canadians love that about him. I think they love the fact that he hates to lose. I'll say this, you know, we've talked so much about Shaw, Radulov, Weber. There's a couple under-the-radar additions to this Canadiens team that have made a huge difference this season. And you can go back to last year. Two of them playing are Paul Byron, came over from Calgary as a waiver claim. Yep. He's been found money for the Canadiens, just absolutely incredible. I think he's got 28 points this year. That's fantastic. He's the second leading goal scorer on the team, so that tells you what kind of contribution he's made for a small price of $1.3 million. Philip Deneau, who was brought over in a trade for Dale Weiss, Thomas Fleischmann, and came over with a second-round pick from Chicago. He is playing a level of hockey that we did not anticipate he'd get to. And the last guy, who's a new guy, who came in this year, who was a prospect for the Canadiens, and basically was forcing their hand out of camp that he was either going to play with the Habs or he was going to go back to Sweden, he wasn't going to make it to the AHL, Arturi Lehkonen. And this is a name, I think he's flown under the radar of the rookie class this year. But he's on pace for 20 goals, and he is a player that gets better with every single game he plays. One of those Finnish kids that knows how to play the game at both ends of the ice. And I'm telling you right now, mark my words, as this season moves along, as the games become more important, as the Canadians venture their way towards the playoffs, which I believe they'll be participating in, I will bet anything that he is going to be one of their key players moving forward. So I think the potential on this kid is going to be a 30-goal scorer down the line. He'll be a 20-goal scorer this year, and I bet you he shows up for the big games, because in Sweden, he broke Daniel Alfredsson's Swedish League playoff record for goals in a playoff run. He won with Frölunda last year. This kid's a real player, and people got to start taking notice of him.
And how? Okay, so back me up. And then, how did he end up in Montreal then?
He was a prospect. He was a second-round pick of the team, and Basically, he's been plying his trade as a pro in Sweden for the last 2 years, and was in Finland as a pro for 2 years before that. So this is his fifth year playing as a pro, and he's 21 years old. So this kid, I don't think that the rest of the world outside of Montreal knows much about him, because they're focused on Matthews and Nylander and Marner and Tkachuk and some of the great rookies that we've seen in this class. But I'm telling you right now, this kid has all the goods to be a great 200-foot player, and he's proving it in Montreal in his first year.
Were you as someone, you know, watching the team, observing the team, were you waiting for him to arrive? Was this a player that you know, fans and the media were waiting to come over, or has he just kind of quietly come in, like for the rest of the league, has he just kind of quietly come in and done the job?
Well, people were definitely excited when he was drafted by the Canadiens. You know, They saw a player that went over, you know, he was the captain of the World Junior team in Finland. He won a World Junior Championship the year before that. He's a guy that, after they saw him break Alfredsson's scoring record in the playoffs last season, knew that, you know, he's maturing to a level where you'd expect that he might thrive in the NHL. And you just look at the complete package. When a guy like Saku Koivu, before the season starts, says that, watch out for Arturi Lehkonen, and I'll bet you he makes this Canadian team. Mm-hmm. The pressure was on Lehkonen to make this team. You know, if he doesn't make it, he's going back to Sweden. He's not going to the AHL. So the fact that he was able to do it, and the fact that the Canadians took a flyer on him and they've been rewarded, that's gravy for everybody involved. And I can't say enough about what he's going to be as the games become more important, because I watch the way he plays the game, and he does everything the right way, and it's somewhat unexpected for a player of his age.
Eric Engels from Sportsnet, our guest down the South Street Burger guest hotline, talking about the Montreal Canadiens. Do I need to slow down this conversation to talk about Carey Price at all? I know our shop, Sportsnet, put out the splits recently, and his last 11 games haven't been great. He's an all-star. Am I wasting your time by asking if there's any issue with Carey Price?
No, you're not wasting my time. It's a question that's being asked on a daily basis here in Montreal, and with good reason. But it's, you know, I'm not concerned about it. Carey Price is not concerned about it. Michel Therrien is not concerned about it. I don't think the Canadians are concerned about it. I think what we've seen over the last 11 games, where the stats have kind of been against him, is a confluence of some fatigue, you know, coming out of the World Cup, hitting this stretch of the season that's been very demanding. And obviously, he missed 70 games last year, so you thought it might hit him at some point. The All-Star break, not sure how much it helps him, because he's got to go to Los Angeles. But I'll tell you, the last week there was a lot of signs that he was coming out of this. You look at the game against Buffalo, a lot of people look at the box score and the highlights and say, okay, you know, three goals beat him again, ninth time in 11 games. He was beat on the blocker side on all three goals, and this is, you know, just a continuance of a trend. If you actually watch the game, and thankfully I get paid to do that, so I don't miss any of them, he was amazing. You know, he made 35 saves in a game. He was the only reason the Canadians got a point against Buffalo. They were dead tired in the third period, having played the night before, and were holding on to a lead, and the score effects, you know, tend to work out that way, that when a team is trailing going into the third, they're going to bring it. And Buffalo did. And the saves that Price came up with were all world. He made a lot of saves on that blocker side. The goals that got by him were, virtually unstoppable. The second one people might look at and say, that's a wrist shot from the blue line from Cody Franzen, but it beat him through a maze of guys in front of him, and he clearly reacted as though he didn't see the puck. So if Carey Price sees it, he's usually going to stop it. And I expect that, you know, a guy who's garnered the reputation as the best goaltender in the league over the last 3 or 4 years is going to be right back at that level at some point in the near future. And I think the start of that really came against Buffalo, and it was kind of building towards that. And a 1-0 loss to Detroit last week, even a loss to Pittsburgh, he made a bunch of good saves, although he let in 4 goals. So people will focus on the stats, but, you know, at the end of the day, this is still a goalie that is among the best, if not the best in the world, and he'll be right back at that level.
So let's wrap it up with this, Eric. I mean, you look at where the Canadians are today. We talked about the work that Marc Bergevin did in the offseason. Does he have more work to do? Does he need to do anything between now and March 1st? Or is this Canadians team good enough to compete with the Washingtons, the Pittsburghs, whoever's coming out of the East?
Yeah, I think, you know, Marc Bergevin has to look at the situation, look at the way his team has handled those injuries we talked about off the top, and say to himself, if I can make this team better, I'm going to do it right now. And maybe that means sacrificing a little bit of the future. He's been great at doing that and doing it conservatively and finding players that can help, whether they're depth pieces or great players like Thomas Vanek, who came over a couple of years ago at the trade deadline. So, you know, I expect Marc Bergevin is going to add to this team. I can't see it going any other way. But like we know, this market is really jammed up. You've got two teams right now that are established sellers. The 16th place team in the East is 5 points out of the playoffs. So it just makes it that much harder to make a deal. And I think, you know, if Marc Bergevin wants to get a real impact player, the ask on the other side of it will be Mikhail Sergachev, who's a Windsor Spitfire, the ninth overall pick of the Montreal Canadiens last year. He was one of the best prospects in all of hockey. He is the blue chipper that the Canadiens have, and I'm not convinced that they're willing to part ways with him. But, you know, here's a guy who traded P.K. Subban for Shea Weber and brought in Radulov and Shaw, and Carey Price is under contract until next season for $6.5 million. That number is going to jump. The window's open right now. So if there was a year to sacrifice, if there was a year to put a first-rounder out there, with the draft class being what it is, and that it's nothing near what it was last year, maybe this is the year that Bergevin does it. So I'm going to be working the phones quite heavily from here to March 1st. I've been doing that. Things are quiet right now on that front.
Yeah.
But I think things will open up as more teams establish themselves as sellers.
Any top of the list for you in terms of, I mean, centermen, defensemen, I mean, if they had to focus on one thing, what would they focus on?
Well, listen, if you take all the guys that have been bandied about on the marketplace, be it Matthew Shane, Gabriel Landeskog, Kevin Shattenkirk, all the guys that are marquee players that you think there might be a possibility of moving, you have to think the Canadians are players in all those dossiers.
Okay.
You know, any one of those players can help them. I think, ideally, if he could, Mark Bergevin would be adding a top six forward and a top five defenseman and one of a puck-moving variety. But you could talk to 16 teams slated to make the playoffs that are looking for the same thing. So the question of how crafty he can be to get that done.
Eric, always appreciate the visit. Thank you very much for the information. As usual, it was terrific. And again, the insight into the dressing room earlier was just phenomenal. I appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight, my friend. I know we'll catch up between now and March 1st.
All right. Take care.